"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome, everybody. Four more hours of this. You have a chance at some money. We got words. Words every hour. One keyword at 220, 320, 420, and 520 for your chance to win some bonus inflation cash from the wonderful people at iHeart. Well, I hope I make it through the show. I have joined the ranks of Deborah Mark.
What's wrong?
No, I'm not vegan. Well, that alone would be alarming, and I might die before the show ends.
What's wrong, Ken?
I took both shots today.
Oh, you did a twofer, the flu shot and the booster, the COVID booster.
The COVID booster, which is known as the bivalent. Mm-hmm.
Why'd you take the flu shot?
He's smart. It's a bad flu season.
Yeah, but he's been complaining about never taking a flu shot for years and years.
I took one last year, was the first time. You didn't know that?
What
I talked about it on the air.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
She
remembers.
I do. What?
Well, all right, you pay attention.
That's right. I get a star for today.
Very good. You're in the front of the class.
Let's put her in the front seat.
All right. I'm in the back of the class and I'm doodling. What changed your mind on the flu shot?
On the flu shot? Oh, you're only interested in the flu shot question. I see.
Well, because you used to be adamant about never taking it.
Yeah, because they're normally wrong. That's correct. They have to kind of figure out what might be the most common strain that's spreading. And
but they're right.
They're wrong. No, I don't know that they're right. I figured I'm getting a shot. I might as well get two.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it was weird because I woke up this morning and Pfizer is saying, because John was right, they did not test this latest booster. This latest booster is supposed to target Omicron and a couple of other variants. It's really not that different from the original coronavirus vaccine. But today, Pfizer and BioNTech said that they've taken a look, because this has been out since September. It's only 2 months worth of data. But it seems to be boosting antibodies strongly for people who are over the age of 55. Four times as much, possibly. So it's a small control group.
Yeah.
You're going to know more in
55-year-old mice.
It says people here.
Mm, okay.
Are there mice that lived past 55? Because that would be whatever they got. I'd like some, because that means I could live to 300, maybe. I don't know. Mice
don't live that long. Who would want to live to 300?
Yeah. Why not?
Can you imagine?
Well, don't you guys like your life?
I don't want to look like a 300-year-old.
But you can't walk and you can't think and you look like you sound like Biden.
I will check you in the nursing home at 90 and I'll say, hey, do you like your life? You want to live another 200 years?
I'm trying to say, remember people used to only live in their 30s?
But your effectiveness is over at a certain point. You can stay technically alive, but...
I think the human body is incredible, and I think there's a chance that you could feel it at 150 like you feel today at 60.
Wow.
No.
He's not buying that.
No.
I'm not
buying
either.
It either, Deborah
no.
Mark?
No.
You people think small. You really
no.
do.
No.
You're very limited.
In fact, I was just talking at lunch with a friend of mine today about...
Oh, no.
An exit bag. No, an exit bag. And he said, oh, what's an exit bag? And I explained it to him, and he nodded. He goes, eh.
Interested, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was. He was interested. He wanted to know more.
I have one in my raincoat pocket here.
Where can I get this exit bag?
And bad is his life?
He was telling me you can go to Switzerland and they'll take you out if you ask.
Yes, very nicely.
That's
There are some conditions. Nicely. No, there are no conditions in Switzerland. You can just.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, California has it, but you have to be certainly terminally ill or something in California.
You have to have two doctors write a note.
Yeah, there's a whole thing here.
Or, you know what? There's fentanyl pills everywhere now. They hand it out at all the schoolyards.
Right.
So.
Which we keep making the point, why don't they use those to execute people if they're that effective?
Yes, that's an excellent idea, right?
And you might go out with a real high.
Can you believe how idiotic it is? They've been arguing for so many years about whether one way or another is effective or humane, and then you got people dropping by the tens of thousands from one fentanyl pill.
See, that's how we get caught up in the semantics of the argument. Exactly right. Yeah. It's... Well, Deborah, Mark, we're in a very, very select group. You know, what percentage of Americans ages 5 and up have gotten this new booster?
No.
8.
Oh, 8%. Wow.
Yeah. In fact, there's a significant number of people that have not even heard of it. So the answer is, and John would understand, people are tuned out. They really are after coming up on 3 years of this.
I think that's the quickest way to get people to tune out is to mention that word, COVID. I think
probably.
Most people shut down.
So I think you're right.
Nobody cares. It's that's about as relevant as the 1918 Spanish flu.
Right. You used to get the flu shot every year, though. You did not this year? I remember you used to. Your family doctor or somebody gave you a shot, you tell me.
I would go to the local drugstore.
Oh, well, that's where I went.
You know, my the health director at home has issued an order, but I just have dodged it so far.
Oh, an order for the flu shot.
Yes.
What? Not the booster, though.
No.
No. Okay. Do you get memos from the health director?
I do. I get memos.
Something on the refrigerator?
It's texts on my phone.
You should get the flu shot. How many stories have we done that this is going to be a really, really bad flu season? And maybe it won't, but maybe it will. So then you'll be protected.
I tend to believe the opposite of those stories, though. Those are just scare clickbait stories.
I don't want the flu.
You don't count all the people who don't get the flu, though. You only count the people who do get it.
Yes, I've had the flu once, and it was horrendous. Never want to get it again.
Right, okay.
It was so bad.
You've been alive for 29 years, and you got it once.
Yes.
It's a good enough reason. 29 years still, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I did not know, too, is that the TSA has extended the rule until January 8th of next year. All travelers entering the U.S. must show proof of vaccination. I didn't know that. I thought that went away. We're the only country in the Western world that's still doing that. China does it. That's weird, huh?
That's stupid.
You're
seeing now who has the power issues and who has the psychological issues. You know, I still see mask holes walking around the West Side. Especially, I saw like a middle-aged guy again alone in his car. And I'm thinking, what kind of issues do you have?
He's not an Uber driver?
No. He's just a regular guy.
Even most of those guys have removed it.
No. It's like, so what's your mental issue here?
I went to a CVS and a Target. There was probably 10% of people with masks. I was surprised.
People who go to CVSs, yeah. Because people who think... You go to a CVS, you're picking up prescriptions, you're sick.
Oh, there's all sorts of germs in there.
Yeah, right. They're going to pick up tests. They're going to get Paxlovid. Yeah.
But you don't do that.
No.
You don't put a mask on when you go in a pharmacy.
No, nowhere.
Okay, I just wanted to check. But you're kind of half defending it, so.
No, I know why they do it, but they're being silly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of silly people in the world.
And there's a new term associated with all this nonsense that I just learned today, coronasomnia. Yeah, that is the inability to get sleep because people are panicked about the pandemic.
Do you have that?
I do not. That's not one
it's
of
the
my...
only somnia you don't
that
have.
That is the only somnia I don't have.
You
that's
have earthquake
correct.
Somnia?
Yes.
Tsunami somnia?
No, I'm okay with that one. But no, I don't have this latest one.
I like a ring of that. Tsunami somnia.
Say that 20 times fast.
Yeah, somnia. Earthquake somnia. One good quote in here, though, from one of the... Well... He's the director, I think it's a man, Alon Avedan, director of the UCLA Sleep Disorder Center. I guess you have to sit there all day and just study people who sleep and figure out, you know, what the problems
That's
are.
That's what they do. I knew a guy who was a sleep researcher.
Is that right? Did he stay awake?
Actually, they studied sleep in animals first, like mice and rats. So he had...
Do you think animals get insomnia? It seems like dogs, cats, they'll just sleep whenever they want all day, and they never look bothered. What kind of stress could they have?
I never talk to one. I don't know.
Well, you have one. Does it look like one? It's restless and not sleeping?
If he doesn't get exercise, if he doesn't get a walk, he's really jumpy at night and is annoying. But if he gets a long walk, then he's much more relaxed and calm.
Well, apparently we are hardwired to perhaps have cases of insomnia. I never thought of this before, but it's hardwired into our bodies and our evolution that being asleep is associated with being eaten by our predators. So
I can see that, a long time ago,
right? There could have been animals that were eating the cavemen.
Right, so the person who has insomnia problems gets eaten less often, right? They're easily stirred, and they see the wild boar about to consume them, right?
That's kind of the roots of it,
and,
right?
And then you pass...
You have to somewhat be vigilant back then because, yeah, you could be eaten by some large animal.
You pass your insomnia genes on.
That's correct.
Where the person without insomnia dies in his cave, doesn't produce any kids, and so natural selection favors those with insomnia.
Oh, interesting. Yes, I guess that is a logical scientific possibility.
Like Deborah's cave, her ancestors, there must have been a lot of wild animals breaking in. Mm-hmm. And your people were up all the time, all night long.
Oh, and I think it went beyond wild animals. Her ancestors must have just had 100 things that kept them awake at night. So it's still there in her genetics.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, guys. Thanks for that.
All right, when we return, money. It's available. That's right. If you can get it, you could win it. You're going to have the keywords. You'll need that. It's next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. You probably know by now that tonight's lottery has reached $1.6 billion. It is now in the Guinness Book of Records. It has broken the world record for the largest national lottery jackpot in the world.
Good to know.
The California Lottery tweeted that out because they wanted to buy more tickets and be a sucker. One in 292 million are your odds of having all six numbers. Nobody, by the way, has done that. This will be the 40th Powerball drawing since somebody won the large jackpot with all the numbers back in August. They've rigged this. So it will tie the game record for the number of consecutive drawings without a grand prize winner if nobody wins tomorrow night.
How often do they run these?
Three times a week. And in fact, it used to be two, but they increased it to three times a week.
Three times a week and nobody's won since the first week in August?
Not the grand prize, no.
I'm supposed to trust
this?
They've
won the lesser prizes, like five out of six numbers.
So I'm supposed to trust this and believe in this? Nobody wins?
New conspiracy.
Yeah, it's one thing.
It wouldn't be new. I'm sure there's already a conspiracy.
It's one thing to have a contest where your odds are one in 1,100 trillion or whatever it is. It's another one where nobody ever wins. Give me another $40. Here's some more tickets. Oh, look at that. Nobody won again. Oh, well, come back. Hold on. We'll have another contest.
Well, you'd have to
give me another $40. Oh, look at that.
How many number combinations there are, right? And then how many tickets are sold. And of course, I don't know how the machine spits them out. It could be spitting out some of the same numbers to people because that's why they share prizes. But
it's your money. If you want to enter money in a contest that nobody ever wins, it's fine.
Well,
free country.
I've kind of decided maybe I shouldn't. I looked at an article from National Public Radio. I don't know why I did that. And I feel shamed because it turns out, John, that state lotteries are systemically racist.
They are?
Yes. This is all part of the reckoning that we all need to have.
The reckoning?
And maybe you hadn't thought about this.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, and it's obvious you can probably figure out the argument.
I will play along. Why are state lotteries systemically racist?
Well, marketing and advertising apparently are being done on a predatory level.
Predatory.
They're targeting low-income communities, particularly those of people of color, black and brown people.
What?
Here's Timothy Fong, co-director of the Gambling Studies Program at UCLA. Look at that. It's the second time this half hour we've mentioned a unique program at UCLA. Sleep disorders and now gambling studies.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of good work there.
There are people who do develop unhealthy relationships with the lottery, and they develop a gambling use disorder.
Gambling use disorder?
Yes, it's what it's called.
Is that, it's called GUD?
It's like he's Newsom. He's channeling Newsom here by using a more complicated term for
somebody. I got a case of GUD. GUD? Yes, gambling use disorder.
There's a tremendous amount of advertising and marketing that's pro-lottery. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, sure, they want to sell tickets and grab money for...
So what? So don't
even
listen
on my
to
Twitter
it.
Feeds, I see a lot, he says.
What is it with these?
But there's a simple explanation for this. People of low income are desperate, and they'd like to have a shot at some excitement and maybe changing their lives by winning big money.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but that's people who are well off don't need that dream, so they don't participate. I don't know why this is so hard to understand.
It's not.
It's not racist.
They make it up. They just make it up. They also, this progressive crowd is really racist in their beliefs. They don't think that people of color have the ability to ignore
the advertising
or withstand the advertising. Like advertising has some magical effect based on the color of your skin.
Yeah,
and the lighter your skin, the less effect the advertising has. Now, I'd like to hear a scientific explanation for that. Why is it the amount of melanin in my skin has anything to do with how I receive advertising messages?
No.
No. They're a bunch of racists.
More to do with the disproportionate number of people that happen to live in low-income communities being black and brown.
Yep.
And the chance that they feel that they could change their lives by even
winning
$1 million.
Anybody who pushes these ideas, they're the racists. They're the ones who have a negative impression of the race that they claim to be analyzing and trying to help. They think that people of color, our minds are completely controlled by advertising in a way that white people's minds aren't. That is an absurd racist concept.
Boy, he's making an argument to limit, I guess, the advertising. Is that what he's saying? Should there be caps on it? He's calling it a potentially addictive product, like it's cigarettes or something.
The
nugget in this story, though, that really shocked me, the average adult in the U.S. spends $320 a year on tickets. Wow. I'm nowhere near that, but I guess that's an average. There must be people that spend thousands.
And there are no winners.
Well, there are winners, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, not for 2.5 months.
No, it doesn't compensate.
There are no winners.
No grand prize winner.
Look.
You get 5 out of 6 numbers, especially right now. That's the size. That's like $1 million
or more. These progressive buffoons really have trouble with a free country. In a free country, you could waste your money on nonsense. Everybody does. It's just a matter of degree.
Oh, listen to this quote. This is even better. Did we mention yesterday that, lottery monies tend sometimes to go to schools?
Mm-hmm.
Who's this guy? Bernal. I have to get his full name here. Anyway, he says you have low-income people essentially paying for college scholarships for middle-class and upper-class families to go to college. It's the American dream completely in reverse.
Well, then don't do that.
He's arguing that the people that buy lottery tickets, and they're usually low-income people, are subsidizing wealthier people who benefit from the education money.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So don't do that.
Don't buy
tickets. You won't be subsidizing anybody. I don't subsidize anybody's education through my lottery buying tickets.
Yeah, because you don't buy them.
I don't buy them.
I know.
But why is it so hard?
But
tell me why it's so hard to not do something.
This is Les Bernal. You know what he is? The national director for Stop Predatory Gambling.
Oh, they've added the word predatory. Oh, it's to make it more dramatic. Because people stop listening to them. So it's like, we need a new name to get people's attention. Let's call it predatory gambling.
All right. When we come back, there are some new things to talk about, believe it or not, in the Pelosi story. The attack on Paul Pelosi at the Pelosi home in San Francisco. We have more details from the police reports and the 911 call and all of that to go through, and something that happened with NBC News this morning and all of that coming up.
It's getting a little suspicious again, isn't it?
I disagree, and I'll explain why. I figured the whole thing out.
All right.
I have all the answers.
I think the fish is starting to smell.
John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, don't forget the website has our voter's guide if you're going to vote this weekend, because it's going to rain on Tuesday. I don't know. It could be very dangerous going out there to vote in person. You might want to do early voting, either by mail or to a voting center.
Could be dangerous.
Yeah, it could be very scary. You may not get there. Have to stand in the rain. Anyway, check it out at KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. Monday at 5 o'clock, it is the one and only hour of candidates. You will get 30 seconds to explain to our audience why you should be elected to whatever it is you're running for. I was told no judges. No judges? No judges. Okay, and nobody running for committees or something like that?
Right, good. That's two good ideas.
Okay.
No judges, no committees.
Otherwise, if you're running or you know somebody that is, Monday at 5 o'clock is the time and place to be here. You call 1-800-520-1534. All right, so a couple of stories dealing with the Pelosi break-in and the hammering of Paul Pelosi by this man, David DePape. This happened exactly a week ago in San Francisco. We're going to talk about an NBC News story that got retracted, but I think a pretty good rundown has come from USA Today, which pieced together court records, news conferences, police reports, video from body-worn cameras, a recording of the 911 call, and other evidence. And it starts out by saying, of course, he did use a hammer to smash his way into the house. Or did he use a hammer to smash his way out? I don't know. But anyway, DePape said he was not surprised that he was caught on Ring security cameras. He didn't care. I mean, he was on a mission. What he was surprised at is that that did not wake up Paul Pelosi when he smashed his way in, because he found him asleep in the bed.
Well, Pelosi could have had a few cocktails, remember?
It's possible. So he's standing over Pelosi with the hammer in his right hand and then the zip ties in his left hand. Are you Paul Pelosi? Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Pelosi's pretty groggy. She's not here. When's she coming back? She's in Washington. She's not going to be back for a couple of days. Then he threatened to tie up Pelosi about 10 times, but it didn't really happen.
10 threats, or he was going to tie him up 10
I kept saying
ways.
It. I got to tie you up, or I'm going to tie you up.
Oh, I see.
That's apparently what happened. So Pelosi stands up, tries to leave by an elevator near the bedroom, but DePape held the door, prevented him from doing that. DePape later told police he blocked the door because he thought it would lead to a safe room. Yeah, that was pretty good thinking on his part, huh?
Yeah, DePape was thinking a lot more sharply than Pelosi was.
Well, he's awake, and he's not 82.
Yeah.
And he's not, well, you already mentioned it.
He's not Pelosi, post-cocktails.
Pelosi sat back down on the bed, asked, why do you want to see my wife? Well, she's number two in the line for the presidency, right? We got to take them all out. Yeah, the husband agrees. Pelosi asked if he could call anyone, thinking maybe we can get help for this man. But he ominously responded, this is the end of the road for you, Mr. Pelosi. Hmm. Pelosi then asked to use the bathroom, which DePape allowed. But Pelosi's cell phone was charging in the bathroom. That's unusual. So he turned it on and called 911 at 2:23 a.m. and put the phone on the speaker function.
Mr. Pelosi was not security-oriented.
You're right. You should think you have your cell phone right near you in case you need to make a call.
Yeah. Unless
he has charging in the bathroom.
Unless Nancy wakes him up in the middle of the night and starts yelling at him, so he hides the phone in the other room.
Or he's 82 and he has to pee a lot, so, you know, might be in there more than the bed. DePape later told police he knew the call was being recorded, but felt Pelosi had pushed him into a corner by making the call. DePape watched him from 3 feet away while still holding the hammer and the zip ties. During the call, Pelosi explained to the dispatcher, there's a man here waiting for Nancy Pelosi to come back, but she's not going to come back for at least a day. DePape gestured and said, get off the phone. So to defuse the situation, Pelosi told the dispatcher that he did not need police, fire, or medical assistance. But Pelosi then asked for Capitol Police because they're usually at the house protecting his wife. The dispatcher then realized, uh-oh, so she called city police. So what he was trying to do was make DePape think that nobody was coming, but sending a message that somebody should come, and apparently it worked. Pelosi asked DePape, I don't know, what do you think? And it says here, another man was heard responding, everything's good.
DePape's the other man.
Yeah. And then Pelosi told the dispatcher, he thinks everything's good. I've got a problem, but he thinks everything's good. You see the code in that, sort of? I've got a problem, but he thinks everything's good.
So why doesn't he slam the bathroom door
and lock it? Because he'll smash it in with the hammer and kill you?
Well, you could get some weapons yourself. You could take, like, the top of the toilet tank and use that as a shield and start swinging it at his head.
But you see, DePape's or get some. Big. This guy's 82, so I don't know.
But I bet you there's something in the cabinet, maybe some rubbing alcohol, like you could splash into his face.
My whole belief here, and it's a couple of reasons why, I think Pelosi was trying desperately not to agitate this man at all, but trying to figure out a way to get help. But he did not want DePape to go nuts with the hammer. So he kept trying, I think, to be calm and to not say anything that would rile him up. I also think, and here's
didn't do
a
any
twist.
Good though. See, I think it's better to go on offense.
Well, but that's not who this person is. This is Nancy Pelosi's husband.
He should have had a gun.
He might be feeling some sympathy for a crazy person.
He should have. He should have had a gun in the drawer in his bedroom.
Yeah, and a bazooka.
Well, no, considering who he is, who she is, he's worth $120 million. Nancy Pelosi, yeah, is second in line to the presidency and is an extremely controversial figure. And he's got windows on his door that aren't bulletproof or smash-proof. Yeah. I mean, I've watched all the videotape of these jewelry stores. Some of the jewelry stores have smash-proof windows you can't get in. They're slamming and slamming and slamming, or they're slamming the glass cases that have the jewelry inside. I just can't believe that these two didn't have it.
So now here's where the story takes a twist where I think led somewhat into conspiracy land. The dispatcher said, "Who's that other man with you?" "My name is David. I'm a friend of theirs." Pelosi said, "I don't know the man. And no, he wants me to get the hell off the phone." The dispatcher offered to stay on the line, but cops sent to the house when the intruder forced Pelosi to hang up. The dispatcher issued a priority A on the wellness check. I got to go back in. Damn it. I got hit with a... one of those stupid messages came up and I can't clear it.
Oh, an ad?
Yes. And I hold it. I got to go back in to pull up the story again.
You've been hacked.
Well, have you run into it? It says you're a security risk. You need to get... It's the yes.
Oh,
it happens
that?
On my computer.
You're
no,
a security
I've not been
risk.
Hacked. It's been a... Do you have the story in front of you? Can you
yeah,
pick
I do.
Up where I am? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't remember where you were.
They have just hanging up the call with the 911 operator. Get to the part where the police arrive.
All right. Yes. Okay.
Here
After the call, DePoppy said he was tired and needed to sleep. And DePoppy also said he had a backpack downstairs with a whole bunch of stuff inside. So DePoppy walked behind Pelosi as they headed downstairs. Turning on the lights, Pelosi could see where DePoppy entered the house. I guess that's the smashed window. DePoppy allegedly said he had to bash windows several times to break through. And DePoppy said the police would be there any minute. And Pelosi tried to calm him down by saying they wouldn't. "I can take you out," DePoppy said. DePoppy came around Pelosi with the hammer in his right hand. Pelosi, who feared DePoppy would strike him, grabbed the hammer's handle. And that's when, at 2:31 a.m., police officers Colby Wilms and Kyle Cagney arrived at the house. Wilms rang the doorbell, but DePoppy told Pelosi not to open it. Pelosi opens the door with his left hand. In the dimly lit foyer, Pelosi nervously but calmly greeted the officers.
"Everything's good," DePoppy replied when the officers asked what was going on. Now, I've seen conspiracy reports that say Pelosi said that. When an officer turned on the flashlight, police could see DePoppy was holding the hammer with one hand, Pelosi's right arm with the other. Pelosi had his hand on top of the hammer. "Drop the hammer," said a cop. "Nope," said DePoppy. And then he tried to pull the hammer away from Pelosi and wrenched his right arm. At that time, Pelosi said, "Hey, hey, hey." He couldn't keep his grip on the hammer. Cop now yells out, "What's going on here?" And DePoppy gets the hammer away and steps back and hits Pelosi in the head with full force.
Now in the NBC report that they pulled,
yes,
they had Pelosi answering the door and then walking back towards DePoppy.
Right. This version says Pelosi was able to open the door with one arm while he's still holding on to the hammer with DePoppy. I don't know. But what I got out of this is Pelosi is trying to defuse this guy and make sure he doesn't go crazy with the hammer. And I'm pretty convinced they don't know each other. And
you don't think he was a special friend?
Yeah, there's a pretty good story in the Chronicle that said some of the initial information put out by the police got confusing and then got twisted into conspiracies. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it's a special friend.
Well, I don't know. People have special friends.
They do.
Maybe he was just coming over on a wellness check.
And maybe we have to wait another week before we get the bombshell story. But
I just don't understand the police response here. And the police didn't seem to know it was Paul Pelosi. Because most times police departments know who the high-profile celebrities or politicians are. They have a special list.
Yeah, it seemed to be two guys on the overnight that didn't really get...
But like that, right away everybody knows, oh my God, that's the Pelosi house. Because there's very few bigger names than Pelosi in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, that house has to be really famous, well known for the police because they cover it. They have to patrol it all the time. I don't know.
We got more coming up.
I don't know.
We'll have a few more thoughts.
I have an odor that I'm picking up about this.
Oh, I thought you were smelling. You didn't shower.
No.
Forgot the deodorant.
You just announced I have an odor.
No, I have an odor that I'm picking up. There's something in the air on this story.
Yeah, it's not. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. What happened? You had some...
I think I had a little too much lunch.
Oh, hamburger?
Hamburger, but I went out with a friend, and the guy brought extras that we didn't order, and we ate them, and now I'm feeling...
Oh, you overate.
I'm feeling bloated.
Oh, no. You have a cure, Deborah Mark?
Things aren't digesting right.
A gummy?
I don't have anything. Sorry.
I'm okay.
Maybe take a few deep breaths.
No, you also eat too fast, right. Right? Do you scarf them down in 30 seconds like you usually do?
No, it's just excessive consumption.
Because you're going to make me tell the cheesesteak story again. She likes that one. We all do. I mean, there was a steak story. That's different.
Actually,
one that happened at the station is one that happened in your home.
There's actually been a lot of those incidents.
Oh, there has.
I've had to retrain myself on how to eat.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So some real steps were taken.
Well, let's say self-improvement steps.
But it didn't happen today. Yeah, I wasn't saying it didn't work today.
No. This is something separate. This is just a little indigestion.
Oh.
But no, I had to retrain what I do and at the speed.
Just eating you're talking about or other
eating.
Things? Okay. I don't know. You made a very generic statement, so I thought it was involving many aspects of your life.
No.
You know what? Today, something interesting happened. We're, of course, today is Moistline Friday. We'll have those callers at 520 and 550. Now, we do have a hack for the dumpster. The committee voted earlier in the week. This was unanimous to throw this person into the dumpster. Then something happened yesterday, which made them reconvene because this person sort of recanted, but they're still going to the dumpster.
Well, yeah, because it's just words and, they're not doing all that well in the election.
Exactly right.
You know, there comes a point in a campaign where it doesn't matter what you say, you're now desperate and flailing, and you'll say anything to try to avoid losing. So you're completely discredited. In fact, when you've been in charge, you should be only judged by what you did. And if you screwed up, then you screwed up, and you're punished by being removed from office. And then, the last week's, upon further consideration, I've decided, it's like, shut up, you're done.
Yeah, I look at the polls and said, that was a bad thing to say. How can I recant it, or how can I...
What they say.
Walk it back.
What six-year-old still goes by what a person says? It's what they do.
Yes.
100 times out of 100, it's what they do. Not what they say in the last week of an election they're afraid they're going to lose.
All right, well, we have another snake story. The one we brought you last week was a terrible one where a woman got consumed by a snake in Indonesia. This time, where most of the snake attacks happen in the world, or snake bites, is India. I guess India has a lot of snakes. 85% of deadly snake bites recorded in 2019 happened in India.
Is that right? Oh, I'm never going there.
Well,
no,
I don't think you're killing tourists.
That clinches it. No, I don't go to places where there are snakes.
Okay. There are snakes everywhere, but...
No.
There might be more of them in
India. I think there's more poisonous ones in India.
We have a little boy playing in his backyard. He's only 8 years old, named Deepak. And before you think this is going to go south for Deepak, you need to listen. An adult cobra came upon him, wound itself around his arm, and started to sink its fangs into Deepak's flesh. He tried to shake the snake off, but... He decided there's only one more thing I can possibly do. He bit it and he killed it. How's that? Man bites snake and kills it. Boy,
there he went on offense.
I mean,
he didn't just stand there and get squeezed to death like everybody else.
Oh, plus it could have attacked him with its venom.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. I mean, that woman last week, what'd she do? She stood there until the snake squeezed the life out of her and then ate her.
I wonder why his bite killed the snake. We don't have poisoned venom in our...
Unless he hit something sensitive.
Yeah, he must have hit some...
Did he bite the head off?
No, I...
Doesn't say. I looked. I want to know where he bit. Because I want to...
He got lucky because the cobra bit him, but it was a dry bite. It did not release any venom. So he has shown no symptoms and is recovering fast. Dry bites are often administered by adult snakes who have full control over the deployment of venom from their glands. Maybe this one didn't feel like using its venom, thought this kid was easy prey, so...
I don't know. I don't know if snakes think.
They don't think it is kind of instinct, and then
that, the tiny little brain, I don't think there's rational thought going on.
Yeah, I'm trying to see in this story the explanation as to how his bite would kill the snake. This is mostly the stories about people getting bitten by snakes.
Yeah, I guess there's everybody's got a weak spot there.
Yeah, he bit the snake in just the right place to take it out.
Yep, that's a life lesson there. Go on offense.
If
bite
a
back.
Venomous snake,
you know what?
Bite
that's what Paul Pelosi should have done. Paul Pelosi should have bit that guy instead of taking a hammer to the head.
Some people are not inherently violent.
Well, then
you apparently are.
Then they don't survive.
This is
natural selection again.
He decided to use the calm method of trying to talk the intruder down and
got
acting calm and making his 911 call surreptitiously. That was a different strategy.
You know what? I think, and this is easier said than done.
Again, he's 82 and this guy's in his 40s. Is he really going to outfight him?
Well,
if he had a gun, sure, he could shoot him quickly.
Well, that's why he should have had a weapon at his bed. Since he's Nancy Pelosi's husband and half the country hates Nancy, then you gotta be armed. You gotta be ready to go into battle. I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
But all this leads you to eventually conclude that this is an inside job and he knew this guy and he was there for an encounter.
I didn't conclude that.
I know, but you're getting suspicious. You said there was an odor.
There's something about the story that doesn't make sense to me. Hmm. And I can't put my finger on it entirely. I don't understand the way the police reacted. I don't understand why the police didn't know who it was. I don't know why they didn't go in there aggressively and disarm Hammerman. They didn't seem to know what was going on. They stood there asking questions. What's going on here?
Well, they don't want to kill an innocent person in case they've misunderstood what's going on.
I say the guy holding
cops
the hammer...
Cops are always accused of being too quick to shoot without any questions.
That's a whole other issue. But I'm saying the cops should have done something, should have charged the guy with the hammer. See, because here's the thing. If you're locked in a room, you got a guy with a hammer, right? That guy wins. He's always going to win. You're 82. He's whatever his age is, 40-something. All right, so what's your... You don't have much of an advantage to begin with here, right? He's half your age, probably twice as strong, and he's got a hammer, and he's crazy. What do you got? You got an old body. You might
That's
still have...
That's why he used his wits to stay calm. Try to make sure the intruder didn't become aggressive.
But he got the hammer anyway. So his method...
You reach for a gun, he may be faster than you, and he'll hammer you to death right on the spot.
No. You have an element of surprise. Bullet
Plus
beats
you said
hammer.
Paul Pelosi could have been drinking. He might not have been able to reach
a gun.
That's
another
quickly.
Thing. You shouldn't put yourself in a compromising position like
that.
But
we don't know that.
I didn't say he was drinking. But what I'm saying is... I'm serious about this, because I've thought through this stuff. And part of self-protection is having a good offense, having a weapon to fight back with, having some kind of element of surprise to gain the advantage in the moment. I don't think, and this is not just true for an intruder, but in any situation in life, when someone is coming at you in some way, laying there and taking it is almost guarantees your defeat. That's the worst thing
to
do.
But this situation was more particular than that. He was there to see Nancy Pelosi, who was not there.
I'm not going by what
he was there just to kill you.
I'm not going by what he says. Oh. He's crazy. He's angry. He has a hammer. I don't.
All right. Okay. We got more coming up. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about the LA mayor's race really close come the election Tuesday. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.